Alrighty. This is Required Watching, where we watch the essential films from a list of cinematic influencers and look at them through the lens of learning about filmmaking and how to move forward. I'm your host, Trey Epps, and today, this movie was directed by Colm Attic, screenplay by Kenya Barris, Doug Hall, and story by Ron Shelton, Kenya Barris, and Doug Hall, based on the film White Man Can't Jump by Ron Shelton, produced by Kenya Barris, Paul Hall, starring, I don't know how to say this gentleman's name, Cinqua Walls, Jack Harlow, Tiana Taylor, Laura Harrier, Vince Staples, Miles Bullock, Lance Reddick, and this movie is a remake of the 1992 film about a pair of basketball hustlers who team up to earn extra cash. This is White Man Can't Jump. Alright, so, I'll start off by saying this. In terms of like reboots, remakes, requels, and sequels, and spin-offs, and overall IP, I hate it. I hate that we are in a world where everything is recycled. I think since the start of media, we've always been in that space. In the 90s, it just felt like every idea was original. We had some sequels, but you know, in some franchises, but it was largely a lot about, you know, the best new creative idea, the best way to take on something. There was a lot of hacking, as in like a lot of hacks out there, a lot of stories that were just other stories with like a very thin veil. But I think overall we've gotten to a point where everything must be IP and driven back to something else. Everything, it needs to be a reboot because it's based on something else, or a remake because it's based on something else. And I'm interested to see exactly if what the return on investment is for the people making money, because I just can't fathom the thought that just because 50 million people watched, $1 billion on this movie, it means that everyone's going to come watch another movie. I find it weird to think that just because people like Jack Harlow, it means that it's going to translate to more eyeballs or whatever, for example. So personally, I don't like this kind of thing. I especially don't like it when it doesn't feel fresh. It's a weird balance. It has to feel fresh and yet original, because if I wanted to just watch White Men Can Jump, I would watch White Men Can Jump. Do you know what I mean? So it needs to feel relevant. It needs to feel important. It needs to feel, give me the comfort and nostalgia, yet be something, yet continue to have that fresh take. And on that point, I think Colm Attic is a really young director who made his name in commercials and music videos, and I actually like a lot of his stuff, but he also made the 2022-23 version of the remake of House Party, which I have problems with. I have a problem with House Party. I'm pretty sure I did not speak about it here. I don't want to speak about it. I think it's weird that this commercial music video guy did one remake and then landed on another remake. And both, as far as I know, were not received well, I think. House Party wasn't, which was a movie kind of plagued by its own, there's actually a lot I like about House Party, the new one. Talking about this movie, I just don't really see and understand why this guy is given the shot to do these. I would have loved to have seen a new director take on something original. It just wouldn't make sense to me. Anyways, and also, like, just the fact that Kenya Barris is involved, I really wanted to like this movie a whole lot more, but then you throw kind of a controversy of Jack Harlow being involved, who I've recently seen in Dave, who I don't really think is a necessarily good actor, but, you know, I think he's okay. I think there was a lot of uproars because of the fact that apparently he can't play basketball, so there was just a lot going on there to replace, you know, this iconic Woody Harrelson character with Jack Harlow. It throws you off kilter a bit. But let's, in case you don't know about the original, let's just take a quick beat to talk about it. So White Man Can't Jump is about a film, is a film about two street basketball hustlers, Billy and Sidney, who played by Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, who form an unlikely partnership to hustle opponents. together, they face challenges on and off the court, dealing with race, friendship, and trust. The film explores themes of identity, ambition, and overcoming stereotypes while showcasing the power of friendship and the resilience of the human spirit. That film was directed by Ron Shelton and released in 1992. And of course, its cultural impact was huge, particularly within the realm of sports and popular culture, for a few reasons. And I promise we'll get back to this one, but we're talking about the original here. And one of the reasons was the popularity of basketball is so significant. This movie even contributed even more to the popularity of basketball. You know, this movie showcased the sport's energy and street culture and urban playgrounds. It helped elevate basketball's presence in the mainstream media and further solidify the status quo of the beloved sport, particularly among younger audiences. And to kind of counter that with what we're talking about here, I don't think the new movie has that. I don't think the new movie gets involved with the street culture of basketball whatsoever. I think, you know, this movie talks about, you know, these two kind of, these two basketball, you know, wunderkinds, these two people who are essentially meant to have been in the NBA, but because of their, you know, their flaws, they weren't able to make it into the NBA. So now they're two people who play street basketball and you know, play exhibition games, and that's about it. That's it. Until about five, you know, actually what I really did enjoy is that not even 5 to 10 minutes in, this movie jumped right on in with what the goals were for the movie, and the characters both need money, they both need this, and you know they need to get together to do it. My problem is, like, it just, one, I don't think it showed enough basketball. It didn't show what basketball was like, because I think that the way basketball is portrayed is different, notably because of the very first film. So if it was like a street basketball and like the NBA are very different worlds, where we play now versus where you play then are very, very different. So I don't think it just holds the same weight. And I think that's my general note about this movie, is that what the film did in 1982 had a lot of weight to it, had a lot of things going for it. The culture and mainstream media back then was a lot different from what it is now. So even if you're going to tackle the same issues, it makes it really hard for it to have the same weight if the lens we are looking at it has changed. Which moves us to racial dynamics. In the original, we explored racial dynamics and stereotypes addressing the intersection of race and sports. The film challenged and deconstructed the notion of racial superiority, showcasing that talent and skill can transcend stereotypes and preconceived notions. How are we getting that in this movie? In 2023, White Man Can't Jump is... talks about race because it wants to. There's no real aim. There's no real goal. I think, you know, decades on, we have a lot of NBA players who are white. I don't think the stereotype or the assumption is that because you're white, you can't play basketball. Again, the irony being that just because you're white doesn't mean that you can't rap, which would have been my comparison. But of course, we have Jack Harlow, who is a white rapper, and it all feels very, sorry for the phrase, it feels very circle jerky to have, you know, to have him cast in this role and to be trying to say these kinds of things in the movie, because it just, I'm not sure if, it's just not the same. It doesn't have the same lens. Like, it's the fact that you have Jack Harlow talking about race over and over and over and over and over again, it means nothing, because it just shows that he's a white guy who wants to continue to talk about race. And I look around and I'm like, I don't know why that's good. Like, why that's funny. I don't know why that's a thing. Especially because Sinqua? I'm so sorry. I should look it up. I think because his character is so different and it's not so jokey and it's not so quote-unquote... Actually, I think he's really charming. But I think they try to back up Jack Harlow's talk about race charming and fun. And, like, he's the guy who can make these jokes when... I think it's a really bad example. I think if any other white guy walked into anywhere that I grew up talking like that, he would get his butt beat. And that's not the good thing. I'm not condoning that. But I just don't think it was just a terrible display of talking about race because we had to for the sake of the movie and not for the sake of the story. Going back to the original 1992 version, there was a ton of pop culture references. The film introduced several memorable lines and phrases that enter the popular culture, such as White Men Can Jump, and It's Hard Work Being This Good. These catchphrases became part of everyday vernacular and a reference in various contexts. If you haven't heard either of those things, then you're living under a rock, or you're born in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, which I am okay with. But in relation to the... Yeah, whatever. Also, you know, this movie was a buddy comedy, right? Like, it paired two contrasting characters who developed an unlikely friendship and camaraderie. And I think the film's success influenced more buddy comedies in this way, inspiring like filmmakers to have dynamic and mismatched characters come together in partnerships that were like their humor derived from their interactions. And I don't get this. These characters were just really hard. And again, I'm gonna take it back. I think it was all hubris, right? Like, it didn't feel like they had to overcome any particular flaws in order to be friends. They just weren't friends because of the sake of the plot and the story, not because they couldn't be friends or put their shit aside. So that makes it very, very difficult. Listen, this movie absolutely resonated with a lot of audience members. A lot of audiences by combining elements of sports, comedy, and social commentary. And I don't know if the cultural impact of the 1992 version will be or has been the same as it has been with the 1992 version. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong, and I could be cynical because I know that I come off on the wrong foot of not liking requels, sequels, remakes, spinoffs, etc. I don't dislike Jack Harlow in the slightest, but I don't think that he was the right choice for this. I think some of the jokes didn't land, but what I did actually like about it is that I felt at ease with these actors, to be perfectly honest. Not necessarily characters, but the actors. I felt like I knew this would be a relatively safe performance and safe kind of story, but not really anything new. And I think that's where it fails, is that I didn't feel the nostalgia. I felt like it was trying to, it had little hints of the 92 version, but not enough to make me go, oh yeah, I'm sure there are, but you know, all those Easter eggs, like who's out there looking for 1992 White Man Can't Jump? Who? Part of the problem, folks. But, you know, tell me what you think about this movie, because I am thoroughly confused about what the take is out there. This movie premiered on Hulu or Disney Plus, depending on where you are in the world. And I am I'm interested to see what people think about it. So, with that said, is it required? I'm going to say straight up no. Yeah, no. It's not. I'm trying to find something really good about it in terms of how you watch it. If you did watch it, I think pay attention to the things like the jokes, pay attention to the direction, pay attention to these things, because they will make a really big difference. And I'm interested in, you know, movies are always, you can take a lot from them one way or another, good movie, bad movie, indifferent. You can definitely take a lot away from it. Is this something that you need to watch? No. As someone who loves Kenny Barris, I will 100% watch almost anything that man does, but it's not the best thing he's written. It's not the best thing he's produced. And you can skip it if you want to. But maybe I'm wrong. So you let me know. And tell me what you think about the film. And tell me about what you think we should be doing next. We're doing things differently on Required Watching. So buckle up, buttercup. And let's get things going. Until next time, people. Subscribe, like, and do all that stuff. Peace out. Enjoy your day. Okay.